read about Jesus. Yeah, there were times when he, excuse me, lost, I won't say lost control, but there were times when he got angry.
Sure.
But every time, it was justified. And he followed what Paul said, be angry, do not sin, don't let it go down on your wrath.
Right.
But in general, I mean, what did Peter say in Acts? He went about doing good.
Right.
He didn't go about crippling people. He went about healing cripples.
Exactly.
He didn't go about making people blind or deaf. He went about healing them.
Amen.
He spoke words of authority, and people were amazed.
Yes.
I mean, people followed him, at least crowds the size of, 5,000 males.
Right.
Not to mention their wives and kids.
Right.
Those were the size of the crowds that followed him.
Yes.
And there must have been something sweet about that.
Well, think about it. He's preaching healing and wholeness and how much God loves the people. That's what we need to be concentrating on. In 1 Peter 2, clean house, make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy, and hurtful talk. Let's talk about those four things. I don't know what translation you two have in there, but malice, pretense, envy, and hurtful talk. I find it fascinating that those four things are mentioned right there in the Message Bible. Malice, pretense, envy, and hurtful talk. And think about what those things do to a congregation or to a family, to a husband, wife, a spouse, whatever it might be. Talk about that, Jim.
Well, yeah, and I've got the Amplified, so I'll read it in the Amplified. So put aside every trace of malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander and hateful speech.
Whoa, that kind of sums up what most people get in trouble with. All of that, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, malice is what? Hatred?
Evil.
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 Evil intentions. Yes,
okay.
Hatred goes
there
with.
You go. Okay.
Yeah, to do something with malice aforethought.
Yes. Oh.
Tell iWatch ID.
Right. Right. So if somebody has malice, what do they have? What did they have in their heart? What do they have in their heart, Shel?
Evil.
Evil.
Blackness. Darkness.
Okay. So they have a bad motive?
Yes.
They have an intention. They're intentionally trying to stir up trouble or intentionally wanting to get someone upset or plot something against them. Is that what we hear when we hear the word malice?
Yes, or somebody with guile.
Guile. Ooh, that's another crazy word. Talk about guile. I don't even know how to spell it. But go ahead. Talk about guile.
Well, it's all based on what's in your heart. And
it is.
What's in your heart comes out of your mouth
it
eventually.
Does. Yes, it does.
Its way.
Yes.
So you have to ask God to clean you up.
Right.
But, you know, if you're somebody who's vindictive, angry, who is unforgiving, who's full of rage, maybe because you were wronged in the past or hurt by others or let down, whatever the reason being, if you don't let God clean you up, that's going to fester over time.
Exactly. And I want to make this point that you can be saved and still have this stuff.
Yes.
Right?
Well, yeah, obviously you can, or Peter wouldn't have said put it aside.
Right. Right. He's talking to the church here, and he's saying, yeah, so we can be saved, make that decision, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. But that's when this cleanup starts, is when we accept Jesus. And then we begin to see some of this stuff in our hearts, don't we, Shel? That is the way it works.
Right. You still think the thoughts. It's the battle's in the mind.
Right. It sure
but
is.
But you don't want to act on those thoughts.
Right.
That's when evil intentions turn into evil itself.
Exactly.
And so you have to stay in the Word so that He can take the squeegee and the scrubber clean you up.
There you go.
An ongoing process, always.
Absolutely.
For the rest of your walk on this earth.
It's an ongoing process, yes. Because we don't just become clean and have no malice, no envy, no anything. It happens as a process. We learn that, hey, that's not okay. We're born with sin, right?
We're not perfect.
A malice, pretense. Talk about pretense. Oh, gosh. Talk about, I don't know why that's ringing because it doesn't work. That's a different line. Oh. So talk about pretense, Pastor Jim.
Well, pretense would be, and I'm looking here in the Amplified, I think it's like the deceit, the hypocrisy. It's putting up a false front.
Yes.
Making people think that you're something that you're not.
Right.
You know, and that's just as a side note, that's what Jesus condemned the most. You know, I mean...
Pretense?
Hypocrisy. That's what, if anything got under his skin, it was hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy of the Pharisees and all the religious leaders, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because they, and because they supposedly knew the word in their head.
Right.
But what was it he says in Matthew 22, I think, when he confronted the Sadducees about the resurrection, he said, "You're wrong because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God."
Right.
And, you know, people try and put on airs and appear to be something that they're not. But
right.
Sadly, that usually shows up at some point.
Exactly. Exactly. Malice, pretense, which we're saying is hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is not okay. Hypocrisy is condemned by Jesus, and Peter talks about it right here, that's not cool when you're trying to act like something you are not. Talk to us, Shel.
Well, hypocrites tend to be people who are fault finders when they themselves are committing the very act they're pointing out or calling out on somebody else.
Right.
For me, like Jesus, the people who I've encountered in life who've hurt me the most have always been the Christians.
Exactly.
To be rejected by your
own.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, because they're supposed to know better, and then we're supposed to act Christian. And I don't mean act Christian like put on an act or dramatize it. I mean walk the walk.
Walk the walk. Yeah.
Whether you're being watched or not, because you are actually always being watched.
Right.
So if that reminds you to be good.
Right.
You know, God's eyes are always on you.
You're exactly right.
But, yeah, just hypocrisy is the worst. It's the worst quality, I think, to have as a Christian.
Now, how many times do you hear people say, "I don't want to go to church, that church is all full of hypocrites," right? Because people can go and act very spiritual and then turn around and be mean, can be full of this stuff, malice and envy and hurtful talk. Go ahead, PJ, before we get up to the...
Oh, wow.
Just
we'll
a minute.
Go,
yeah, we got to go in just a minute, but go ahead.
No,
we
got
to get up to the top of the hour.
Go ahead to station ID.
Okay, you want me to do that?
Yeah.
All right, let's get that station ID done before he decides to comment on what we just said. And yes, I am stalling for just a second so that we get up here. And by the way, we're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life. Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, and Shel right here. Bringing you the Word of God.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Okay, well, that was kind of halfway there. So I will give the rest of it. AM 1340, AM 1350, AM 1400, and of course, FM 106.3, FM 104.3. The station was hit by lightning last Sunday during our show. Pastor Jim and I were here. And I had just said, boy, that storm is really bad out there. Well, I hope we don't get hit by lightning. And we started a song, and bam, everything went out in front of me. The mixer board, the computers, everything. And we were out of business. So we are not totally back completely in the quality that we usually have here on Tan Talk Network. So bear with us. And Shel and Jim came to my rescue today since the phones are out, except for that other line that rings once in a while for some reason. But the phones that would have brought Betty and Cindy Henderson in to be on the show today are not working at all. So, Pastor Jim, comment.
Well, and I know Cindy just put a note here on the Facebook. The Facebook is garbled. I'm asking them to check the internet, the radio station's webpage.
Yeah, tantalknetwork.com. Yeah. And which should be hooked into YouTube, which I hooked it in earlier, so I don't know if it's garbled or what. But bear with us because engineers are coming back here tomorrow and we will be up and running totally by next Sunday, I hope. But at least we're getting the word out. So you're joining Living the Good Life right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So clean house, make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy, and hurtful talk. Nah, then it says, only if you feel like it. Does it say that in your Bible, Shell?
No, it's a command.
It's a command? Huh.
Very, very...
intense.
A suggestion.
Not a suggestion, is it?
No.
Okay. Why is this important that we clean up our act as Christians? Go ahead, Jim. Then we'll go back to Shell.
Okay, well, because we're supposed to.
Why are we supposed to?
Well, we need to let our light shine.
Mm.
And, I mean, that's a command, too. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your Father's works and may glorify him.
Yes.
If we're not living a Christian life, if we're not doing, I mean, in John, Jesus talks about how he's doing what he sees the Father doing. If we're not doing what we have seen Jesus do, then we're not doing what we need to be doing.
Well, one of you said a few minutes ago, Jesus didn't walk around this earth being mean and nasty and hurtful and envious and full of malice and pretense. He called it out. He wasn't living that. Shell, talk to us about that. This is why it's so important that we get a grasp on behavior. This is behavior.
Well, we're supposed to represent. When we call ourselves Christians, then we better behave like Christians, especially if you put a fish bumper sticker on. But mainly the point is, you can come to church on Sunday and say, praise the Lord, but Monday through... Saturday, if you're not still conducting yourself in the way that you should, or at least trying to, because we're all works in progress and never at any given time are all areas of our lives as clean and as representative as Jesus as they should be, but we're supposed to be trying. So 7 days a week, 365 days a year, we're supposed to always
absolutely
be like him.
And when we find that we are not, what do we do about that, Shell?
Well, we're supposed to repent.
Right.
Pray.
Right.
We're supposed to be deep in the Word.
Yeah.
We should immerse ourselves. I get negative thoughts constantly. Like, I can be full of the Spirit before I go to work, and then I get into traffic. And then
you
walls
drive,
just start coming down.
Yeah, you drive some pretty bad traffic every day.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all do, especially during rush hour. But then you start walking in, you walk into the office and, you're always going to have curmudgeons. You're going to have people who are not Christian. And it's hard to stay active and in the Spirit 24 hours a day, especially in a non-Christian environment.
It totally is. Absolutely. Go ahead, PJ, on your comments on all that.
Well, I have to agree. There are times I have to pray on the way home from work. it's like, Lord, this was a bad one. Times that I pray or I quote the Word. Because, being in a secular environment all the time, it drains you. And
it does.
I think about what Jesus did when he washed the disciples' feet. Symbolically, Peter said, well, don't just wash my feet. Give me a bath.
Right.
And Jesus said, look, if you've already bathed, all you need to do is wash your feet. And I don't know whether I read it somewhere. But that's like the dust of our daily life. We
right
need to wash that off.
Right. I like
and
that.
We do that through the Word.
Yeah.
The washing of the Word. Just to get off that the kind
yes
of daily, it's not exactly sin, but just the exposure to the dirt.
Right.
is what we have to get rid of.
But the word says all sinning comes short of the glory of God. And we have 1 John 1:9, which I like to call the Christian's bar of soap. It's ivory soap that floats, remember? And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we have to do is say, oh my gosh, Lord, I just messed up there. That was a bad attitude I just had, and I was not nice to that person. And we sometimes need to ask that person, whoever it is, to forgive us, right? We talked about that this morning in the sermon. We'll get to that in a little while. But especially when we are out of faith and we're walking in fear or we're walking in anger, we're walking in hurt, whatever it might be, we got to adjust. We got to do this adjustment thing there. Shell, talk to us about that. That's on us. We got to do it.
I think that we have to take an approach. I mean, what I try to do is remember I have to eat
right
a certain amount of calories every day, or I don't run right.
Right, sure.
I feel lethargic. If I don't drink enough, you know,
right.
I get dehydrated.
Right.
If I don't charge my phone, it dies.
Yeah.
And in the same regard, we have to eat the spiritual bread
yes.
regularly, and not just... And I'm guilty of this. I have, for long periods of time, out of anger or frustration, put the book down and kind of, it's like putting a padlock on the refrigerator, and I starve myself.
That's a good way to put it.
And so I don't stay in the spirit, and then my moral compass starts to go
sure.
south.
Right.
So the point being, we're supposed to just stay in the word, listen to it on TV, watch shows
yes, yes.
and movies that are Christian,
yes.
if you can. Listen to Christian music.
Helps.
Yes, definitely. And surround yourself with Christian people if you can.
You can. It helps tremendously. It's yes. attitude adjustments that have to happen, right, as we go through our day. Listen to this song, Do It Again by Elevation Worship. I'm playing a lot of new stuff now, thanks to Pastor Jim, who's given me a bunch of CDs, and I'm loving this new stuff.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed.
Praise God. You never fail me yet, mighty God. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Love that song by Elevation Worship. One of my new favorite ones. Welcome back to Living the Good Life right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We were in 1 Peter chapter 2 a moment ago, talking about the things we need to give up. Malice, envy, strife, hurtful talk, pretense, all those things which we covered. Now we're going to Matthew chapter 18, where we were in our service today at Beacon of Hope. And this has everything to do about what when somebody hurts you, somebody says something bad to you or about you, somebody talks about you and hurts you. And Christians need to know how to handle these things. We are not expected just to act like, oh, well, no, yeah, that never happened. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, or no, actually, we're going to start with verse 15. Matthew 18, 15. Because we talked about Jesus provided a way for us to be able to deal with things. We just read 1 Peter 2, 1, where Jesus says, let go of hurtful talk. People so often get involved in hurtful talk. And another word for hurtful talk, if you ask me, is gossip. You know? I don't know how you would define gossip, English professor. What is gossip, English professor? Hang on just a minute. You getting feedback there? Yeah.
We were just checking to make sure that YouTube is not garbled.
And oh, is it okay? Not, good. So YouTube is working, guys. You can go to tantalknetwork.com. Go to, and up will come YouTube. So that's cool. Shell, what happens when people get into gossip? What's going on? What's the root of that? Why does it happen? Happens in churches. It happens everywhere.
A lot of people gossip because they want to make themselves look better.
Exactly.
Like they have some information. They have the 411, the scoop that nobody else has. And they just, you know, want to make fun of others at their expense.
Sure.
Or say, can you believe so-and-so said blah, blah, blah? And it's just stupid.
Oh, it is. Pastor Jim, I see him going to his mic. He wants to comment.
No, I was giggling because, you know, they got the 411. They got the scoop. And I think that's always a part
of it. That's really a part of it.
But also, it's also to
it's hurtful talk.
It's a hurtful talk, but it's also to make themselves look better.
Yes.
And I'm going to step out here and maybe
go right
step
ahead, because I have the hiccups,
toes.
So go start talking.
But I think sometimes they're motivated by, well, not sometimes, but a lot of times or all the time, motivated by the devil, motivated by spirits of gossip.
And jealousy.
And jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
In order to bring dissension into the body of Christ. Because we've all lived it. We've all seen it happen. Gossip starts, people get angry, people leave, and, you know, we're kind of left, well, what happened? Because gossip never solved any issue.
Right.
Never did it solve any issues. All it does is keep the pot stirred.
Exactly. But you said it a minute ago. The devil loves that.
Oh, exactly. And I'll be even bolder to say he's used that to destroy churches and ministries.
Absolutely.
He's tried it at Beacon.
Sure.
Several times.
Right.
And, you know, what it takes is just saying no more. And, you know, if you got an issue with somebody, I think of that, I forget, it was some shampoo or hair color commercial or something. And she told two friends, and she told two friends, and she told two friends, instead of trying to work it out with the person that was involved anyway.
Okay, so I propose to the two of you that one of the reasons gossip spreads so much is, number one, Shell, you're right. I believe it means I know something you don't know about so-and-so, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. And then there's an element of just enjoying telling it. It's just kind of juicy, let's say, if it is. I don't know if it is or isn't. Okay? The other thing is then you really hope while you're doing this nobody catches you, of course, you know, and pins it back on you. So then you change the story a little bit. So often gossip stories change. You want to comment any more on gossip? Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that, I don't know, PJ was talking about some hair product commercial, and I was thinking about
he doesn't even have any hair hardly. I don't even know why. Spirit of Envy Shell, because he doesn't have much hair.
I'm not going to make fun of him because whatever product I put in my hair, it's limp by the end of the day anyway.
Oh, okay.
The humidity.
Yes.
No, I was just going to say, I was thinking of the telephone game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you tell a person and then they add a little bit, some maybe embellish a little bit on it or exaggerate. And really, at the end of the day, if you hear somebody's gossiping about you, you don't even know if it's completely true. Which I don't want to jump the gun because I know you want to get into how you should handle that.
Yeah. But go ahead, say whatever you want to.
Well, I mean, if somebody's talking gossip about you, what you were teaching us today, driving the point home in church, was that we need to confront the person, but not in a confrontational way. You know, you said maybe take them to lunch
or buy them a diamond. Why did that come out of my mind? Because, or out of my mouth. That was very strange. Buy them a diamond.
I don't know, because you have enough jewelry.
I do. I have quite
very
a bit.
Nice bracelets
and
a nice chain.
Thank you.
But you should be kind and not come across accusing and just hear them out.
Right.
And just try to work through the issue first and do it in a polite and respectful manner. Because it might not even be true. And if it is, try to work it out diplomatically. And if that doesn't work, then we're supposed to involve two people.
Exactly.
As it refers to the church, we're supposed to involve elders in the church when we need
support,
a mediator or some guidance or advice. We're not supposed to take matters into our hands if they are not resolved immediately with that person that we confront about the gossip.
But back to point one, the best way to do it is between the person that you have the problem with, right?
Yeah, go directly to the source.
Right.
Instead of making it worse and going to others, because then you just involve people either inadvertently or you're just adding fuel to the fire, so to speak, if gossip's already existing.
Absolutely.
And you're just making it spread further and further and further, and then it explodes, kind of like PJ said. It's ruined churches.
Absolutely.
It's ruined the morale in workplaces. And, cyberbullying, look at it.
It's horrible.
Teenagers commit suicide
over things
like
that.
They get upset. It's a blow to their self-esteem, and it's just malicious, to go back to that word
that's the word, malice, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so often it's hurtful. Gossip is hurtful. PJ, you want to throw your 2 cents in? Hey, he seems awake now, Shell. He really does.
He's perking up.
I had my soda.
Okay.
Gossip is destructive. It's never constructive. It's always destructive. And, it depends on, it gets people riled up. So-and-so said this about so-and-so. Well, now I'm mad at so-and-so for saying that, and I'm going to go yell at them. Well, you don't even know what you're talking about, okay? So my advice is, if somebody tries to tell you gossip, just say no. No, if I need to know about this, I'll talk to the person themselves.
Right.
Gossip is always secondhand, like the telephone game, and it only gets worse as it goes on. And Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, let's say I find out that I'm the object of some gossip and I know who started it, then I'm supposed to go to that person in private, me.
Verse 15 of Matthew 18.
Verse 15. I wouldn't send somebody else because it's between me and that other person only at this point. And, Jesus said, if he listens and pays attention to you, you've won back your brother.
Right.
But you go and show him or her their fault.
But a lot of people don't do that, PJ. And I propose to both of you, and I want your comments, that they don't go directly to the person who's offended them or hurt them because they really do want to smear that person that said that by telling 55 of their closest friends, so everybody knows how bad that person was to say what they said.
Well, and that, I don't know, again, maybe. That's human.
That's human. That's, you know, human nature.
If Shell gossiped against me, let's
she's got to quit that.
I know.
Yeah.
The Bible says it. I go to Shell and say,
exactly,
I want, you know, I understand this was said about me. It appears that you said it. Whatever, you know, let's talk. Let's get this worked out. But part of me would want to run off to pastor and say, do you know what Shell said about me?
Right.
You know, and then if I don't get a reaction out of pastor, and part of it is like, I'm angry and I want to share my anger.
That's what I'm trying to get at. That's not what happens a lot of times.
Right. And that's not the scriptural way to deal with it.
It is not.
Because this just starts a fire. Well, James said, the tongue is a fire.
He sure did.
Set upon by the fires of hell. And that's exactly what happens with gossip. It just starts a big old fire. And the more it goes, the harder. I mean, we've seen it with the forest fires.
Right.
If it grows, it's that much harder to put out.
Oh, absolutely.
And especially if the winds of gossip, as I use my hands to provide wind.
Okay.
Fan it. Keep fanning
it. Right.
You know, and then it just gets worse and worse.
It gets worse and worse.
And it has to be stopped.
Well, I drew a line in the sand today at Beacon of Hope and stated, hey, we're not going to have any around here. So if that's your, you know, your objective, it's got to cease. Go ahead, Shell, talk about this, because you've been a part of Beacon and Jim, too, both of you, since about 2008 or 9. I mean, a long time to be a part of this ministry. And as he said, we've seen a lot of people hurt by people's mouths and tongues, some of which maybe was a true statement, but nobody needed to know that, whatever that was, right?
And that, I think that's a point to be made, too. That's as gossipy as telling a lie. As
exactly.
Making something
oh,
up
yeah.
or exaggerating the truth.
Right.
You can tell the stone cold truth about somebody, but if it's not your business to be telling it, you need to keep your mouth shut.
Woo, listen to him. Preach it. Talk, Shell.
Well, I just think that, I mean, I don't know. My mind's going all over which question you want me to ask.
Oh,
the one about what you said today.
Why don't you just talk about whatever you want to say?
I was just going to say that in this day and age, as our world gets darker, it seems, it's so much easier to gossip. And like wildfire, you know, people are tweeting and people are spreading Facebook comments and they're using hurtful words. And that's how wars start. That's how these mass shootings are starting to take place. And I have been coming to Beacon for years, and I've seen a lot of people come and go, and a lot of people have their feelings hurt, and I've seen you very few times get angry about it, but today you put the kibosh on it, and you said, like Jesus, you know, would do. When he saw something taking place, he wanted to kill it in its infancy, because the devil wants to take over things in their infancy. So if gossip is starting to become a problem, you have to, you know, put your fist down, which you did, like a little bulldog today, and you said, that's enough, knock it off.
Right.
And you told us how to handle it.
Right.
If we hear it or we're witness to it.
Exactly.
What we should do to eliminate it.
That's exactly right. It's got to stop, no matter if it's at your office or in your home. Sometimes, and I use myself as an example of years being married and having things happen that I didn't just go to my ex-husband and say, hey, let's talk about this. Instead, I buried resentment. That I was as much at fault as the action that happened or the event that caused me to be resentful, right?
Right.
So you cannot harbor resentment. You've got to deal with things. Go ahead, PJ.
Well,
you guys talk. I talked this morning, so you guys go ahead, you know?
Well, and, you know, the process is you do it by yourself. You go with two other witnesses.
Matthew 18, starting with
verse
15.
Yeah, Matthew 18. And those would be like people that heard the gossip from the gossip. You know, well, yeah, this is what you did say. And if they, you know, hopefully they'll listen at that point. And to me, it's always been scary, step three. I mean, I would pray it would. I mean, it has come to that. We've seen it.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, you say, okay, this is what's happened. You've refused correction. You have to go.
Yeah.
And that's scary to
don't
me.
Ever want to get to that point
no,
with people.
No, and that's why
we need to accept correction.
Right.
We need to, as pastors and leaders, we need to be strong enough to say, okay, here, this is happening. I'm hearing this. Stop it. Like we did this morning, right? It's got to be stopped.
Right.
Can't go on.
And it's never, that's probably the least favorite part of any pastor's job, unless you're really evil. You know, who wants to kick people out of church?
Oh, no.
You know.
No.
The whole point, and one of the notes in this, I have the Amplified Study Bible, is it does involve punishment, but the main thing is not punishment, it's restoration.
Right, exactly.
And that's the whole point of this, is to restore people, not, you know, not to banish them or punish them.
No,
It's to restore.
Absolutely.
And that...
No, and to all of us have a better quality of life, church life, home life, office life, all of it. Shell, comment before we go to the song.
I agree with you guys. And if somebody's
that's
not,
what you're supposed to do. You're always supposed to agree
always.
With us. Yeah.
If someone's not receptive to correction, then they don't belong there in the
right,
first place.
Sure.
Because they should be seeking that out to mm-hmm. ever increase in their faith and
right.
to get better and more Christ-like.
Exactly.
Always striving for the goal.
Absolutely. And people out there, I want you to know that we're not just talking about churches. This happens everywhere. It happens in our homes. I used myself today as an example and of the ways I messed up in relationships in the past by harboring resentment and not talking about the hurt. Not being willing to say, hey, this hurt me. You know what I'm saying, Shell?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it just boils down to a lack of good communication. You know, instead of talking to, I mean, I've done it too. My wife, I've been with for, you know, going on 14 years. Sometimes if I have a problem with her, I'll go and talk to somebody else about it. And it's like, what's that going to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might vent a little bit, but it doesn't help me
exactly.
correct the problem
exactly.
With my wife.
Right.
It's between us.
All
and
right.
No headway is made.
That's right.
Nothing's accomplished.
So we do it scripturally. Matthew 18, starting with verse 15. Lord, I need you. Ooh, I love this song. Because, guys, we do. We can't do this by ourselves. We need the strength that God provides.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
I stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
God, we need you.
Oh God, how I need you.
Praise God. We do. Life's hard. Relationships are hard. Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter says to Jesus, hey, if my brother hurts me, how many times do I have to forgive him? Do I have to forgive him 7 times? And Jesus said, are you out of your mind? No, that's not what he said. But he said, seven? Hardly. He says, try 70 times 7. Last time I multiplied, that was 490. And in the original Greek, Michelle, it means that same person 490 times a day.
Infinity.
In other words, yeah. When are you ever going to get hurt 490 times by the same person in one day? Forgiveness does not mean we agree with what was done. Forgiveness means we let it go. They don't owe us anything. Talk to us about that, Shell. And then Jesus goes on and tells a parable about forgiveness and how hard it is for some people to actually forgive.
Just if you yourself expect to be forgiven, and someday you're going to have to, you got some splaining to do, lots of it.
Yes,
like
Lucy.
I will.
Yes, Lucy.
And, so if you want forgiveness, then Jesus asked that you forgive, because it has to be reciprocal.
Amen.
And it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
And so if someone wrongs you, you, like you said, you don't necessarily agree with it. And
yeah. Doesn't mean you think it was okay
it
what
might
they
hurt
did.
You.
Right.
But take the higher road.
Yes.
Do what Christ would
yes.
do, and that is to forgive.
To forgive. Pastor Jim, comment on this.
You got to love Peter. I'm sure he thought he was saying some really spiritual
seven
thing.
Seven times in one day?
Lord, should I forgive him
seven times? Yeah.
And I'm sure with Peter, that was,
that's
a big
lot.
Thing.
Yeah.
And again, it just shows the higher standard that Jesus has given us. And, you know, like I pointed out this morning in Matthew chapter 5, if we're going to church and we realize, say, I realize, you know, I think I hurt Shell by what I said, before the service even starts,
right,
I need to go up and make it right.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And that's found in Matthew chapter 5. And I love it that, you know, I'm sure the disciples were just stunned. And I think it's in either Mark or Luke, where the next thing out of their mouth is, Lord, increase our faith.
Right.
Because, you know, this seems impossible.
Oh, totally.
How are we going to do this? And then Jesus tells what I think is a wonderful parable
after
this.
Go ahead, talk about it. We were going to go there, so you can talk
about
it.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah.
Well, because it's
I never got there this morning, but I intended to.
Okay, it's about a king who's going to settle accounts with his servants. And one, he began the accounting, and one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him.
$100,000 in the Message Bible.
Oh, so much more. A talent is, I believe it's a year's wages.
Okay.
So that's 10,000 years of wages this guy owed him. And,
wow.
But because he couldn't repay, he begged for mercy.
Right.
And the king said, okay, you're forgiven. I forgive you the debt. Well, then this servant goes out and finds somebody who owes him...
$10, it says in the message.
Yeah, 100 denarii. So that's like 100 days' wages, a third of a year. So that's not too terribly much.
Right.
And this other slave begs the first slave, you know, have mercy on me.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't. You know, he said, I'm going to put you... Now, and I've always wondered about this. It shows you the human mind. Why would you put somebody in the poorhouse? They're not going to be able to pay you from there either.
Right.
But he does. He has him imprisoned with his whole family. Well, of course, the king finds out. The servants go and tell the king.
Gossip.
Well, possibly.
Information here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think this was...
No, it's not gossip. They just told him.
They told him. And they said, you know, they told the king, and the king... Of course, was angry, and actually then had that first slave put in prison. And Jesus says here, in verse 33 of Matthew 18, should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave who owed you little by comparison, as I had mercy on you? And then in verse 35, Jesus says, my heavenly Father will also do the same to every one of you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart.
Whoa.
And yeah, that goes along with what Shell was saying. We're commanded to forgive.
Yes.
You know, and
it's not a suggestion, back to your concept, Shell. It's not a suggestion or a good idea.
It's an edict.
It's an edict.
It is.
It's a command.
And if it's a command, then it's something we can do. And I know we've talked about this before. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's an act of your will.
Amen.
And what you said before, it's, you know, you can never make this right, but I'm not going to let it control me anymore. I'm letting go of it.
That's right.
You know,
forgiveness does not mean you agree with what was done. It means they don't owe you anymore.
Right. We're letting it go.
Right.
And that's very freeing, not only to you. You know, if I forgive somebody, then it's freeing to me, but it also frees up that other person. Because if I hold a grudge, if I'm unforgiving to somebody, since Shell's sitting next to me, if I'm unforgiving, then I'm binding her up too. And that's a spiritual principle. If I'm not willing to forgive, so that she can be loosed,
right,
or whoever, then God's work is limited in both of us.
Exactly. Shell?
I just think it's very difficult sometimes, just as Jesus gives us the difficult task of forgiving people. It's hard to ask for forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
From those that we've wronged.
Yes.
But it's also hard to sometimes determine if you actually have forgiven somebody, because at times I've said in my heart, I forgive somebody. But then later on, when I'm not feeling so Christ-like, I still hold a grudge. It comes up. It comes eventually out.
I think grudges are a good way to tell whether or not you're sincere about forgiveness. And sometimes forgiveness happens in stages.
I think it takes a process.
It's a process.
Some of us can forgive right away.
Some of us can't.
For some of us, it takes a really, really long time.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't seem to come at all.
Right.
But
a lot of people don't know their need to forgive and be forgiven.
Yeah.
They don't realize how important that is and how freeing it is, right?
Like, I think that some people have walked out of Beacon, for example,
exactly.
Offended.
Yes.
But the person or people responsible for offending them weren't even aware.
Believe me, I think a lot of times it's me, okay, as pastor. I do believe that I've been pastoring since I was 22. And I will tell you, that's a long time. And I will tell you that I know a lot of people have been offended by something I said or did or didn't do. Like, I didn't give them attention or do something that I should have done, right? And that's where coming to somebody and talking to them is vital. I mean, vital, right. Don't you think, Shel?
I don't always... I think you're too hard on yourself, though. I don't think that you or PJ are usually the reason that people leave. I think they leave because of other members in the congregation, because we're so diverse. We're so different.
Yeah.
I mean, some of us, I mean, we have very little in common except for our love in Christ.
Right.
And, you know, it's nice to have a place to call home in Christ, to feel that comfortable,
right,
as we all do when we're together.
Yeah.
You know, and then we might not see each other again until we're actually in church or some kind of you know, context,
sure,
with the,
sure,
church. But sorry, I just forgot what I was saying.
Well, you're right about that. No, about so tired. Often it's easy. We're all tired. But it's easy to get offended.
Right.
Okay. I'll never forget the series I taught many, many years ago at Beacon, and I don't think either of you were coming then. It was on a Wednesday night, and I entitled it Offense, Take It or Leave It. Right?
Excuse me, you taught that on a Sunday morning, too.
All righty, there you go. Okay. But why is that so important, that we do not take offense, or that we can leave it? We can leave it behind. You know, we let it go, PJ.
All
no,
right,
I'm not saying that to you.
No,
I'm not saying that.
Go.
I'm just.
Well, and we, you know, we may say things inadvertently. I mean, just off the cuff that may offend somebody. I mean, there are some things that people say that I know they don't think is offensive, but I find it offensive. And if it's really going to get my goat, then I need to go to them and say, "I found this offensive. This offended me." That's on my part to do that. It's not for them to come up to me and say, gee, was this offensive to you? Because they may not even know. Now, if they do know, then they need to come to me. But again, it's that two-way, two people, let's stop it in its tracks sort of thing. I had to do that today with somebody who I wanted to make sure was not offended at me. And I did, and said everything was fine, and I'm going to accept that at face value, and we're going to move on. You know, but again, that's how you stop this destructive, I can't think of the word I want to say, but
it just festers.
Yeah, it just festers.
You know, it eats you up alive.
And the church splinters.
Right.
And this is how you stop it, by confronting it gently. I mean, all right.
Sometimes you have to ask for forgiveness. A few weeks ago in our Monday night prayer thing that we had.
Soaking
night. Thank you for the word. At some point, I had no intention. I had no idea this was going to happen. And all of a sudden, I am flowing in the spirit, praying over people, whatever. And suddenly, God tells me to direct my comments to a certain person that was there that night and ask that person publicly to forgive me for something. And I mean, with tears rolling down my eyes, I did it because God said, do it. And that person accepted that, praise God. And sometimes to do it publicly is pretty hard. But it's, if you follow what God is saying to your heart and you know you need to ask somebody to forgive you for something, you need to have the courage and the strength that only God can provide to go take care of that. Talk to us, Shel.
Yeah. So I had to have courage to come today to be on the show. But I thought, not only, you know, you were in a bind, but I also came today with another purpose. And that was that I wanted to make a public apology to someone who might be listening, might not be listening. But I was going to Beacon for a long time, but I wronged somebody. I would have handled the situation differently. So I just want to ask for forgiveness and say from the bottom of my heart, I'm very sorry that I hurt Connie Farmer, and I want her to come back to Beacon because she belongs there, and we miss her. Yelping and hooping and hollering, and she was just very,
right,
one of the most stable people I knew, members, and I feel like I chased her off with some things that I did. And so if she's listening, I just want to say that I'm sorry. I apologize.
And to Ray also.
Please forgive me.
Yeah.
And I would have handled things different with Ray as well. I'm sorry, Ray.
Well,
that's all.
You know, Shell, there you go. That's what this is all about. And when we can be big enough to say, I handled this wrong, okay? I'm sorry, okay? That's what God is asking us to do. And that's when a ministry will grow, is when we can admit that we handled something poorly or we just didn't do it right, you know?
So since they're not here, I'll just pray that I am forgiven.
Yes.
Or maybe someday.
You will know that.
They'll come back.
Yeah. It would be great.
Yeah.
And you know what? That took a lot of courage for you right now to say that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And it's so fascinating that... The phones were down, and you turned around and came back from I-75 clear over here to be on the show, and maybe it was for that very thing right there.
Maybe
because
it was.
We don't know.
I don't
we
know.
Don't know.
The urge was there.
The urge was there.
I know they wanted to listen to Betty and Cindy today.
Yeah,
but this
we'll,
is what
we'll
you got.
Them.
You're stuck with us.
Yeah, stuck with the B team. No, you guys are not. None of the radio team members are B team. You're all A team. You're A team and God's team too, not just mine.
Thanks.
This is powerful. Listen to the song, and we're going to talk, sum it up here in just a moment. One of my new favorite songs by Big Daddy Weave, Jesus, I Believe. Played it 112 times already.
I want to walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus, move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now, I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises, I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see, it's you in exchange for me. Even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus. Ooh, hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. It's even is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come, and let your will be done, right here.
Lord, we need to hear your voice. I know your word is true.
You're bigger than what I see.
You're bigger than all the stuff around us. All you ask of us is that we surrender to your will in our lives. Lord, we need to hear your voice teaching us how to behave, standing on your promises of what you have for each of us. And Lord, so often we get caught up in the little things in life and the hurts, the misunderstandings multiply. But God, we believe in you. We believe you for miracles. We're in revival at Beacon of Hope now. And Lord, let it start with this day, where we are letting go of hurts, of things that have hurt ourselves and others around us. Lord, it's all about revival. It's all about us coming to a new place in you. We've got it over the door on our new sign where healing happens. And Lord, that's what we want to see happen. And it has to start with each of us, me included, Pastor Jim, the leadership. We've got to want to see healing happen in our own lives and the lives of the people we minister to. Lord, we lift every single one of them up, wherever they might be, whether they listen now or in the future. Lord, let this show be one that is life-changing. Let this moment in time, regardless of technical difficulties, be a moment in time where lives are changed to the glory of God, where we put aside past hurts, resentments, misunderstandings, and we choose love, grace, kindness, mercy. And we live it. We let go of malice and hurtful talk and pretense and envy and jealousy and all of that. We let it go. We confess it as sin. And we walk forward into this bright new day of revival that you have called this ministry to. This new day of healing, where healing happens. This new day where we are becoming more than what we could be in our own strength. Where we are reaching out in love and forgiveness, compassion. Where we reach out and we give a cool cup of water to those around us who need a drink of encouragement. So, Lord, we just speak encouraging words to our listeners today. Let this show be heard and reheard, and let it get down on the inside of us, your word, your commands to us. Not suggestions, but your commands to us. Let us live them from this moment on. We thank you for our listeners. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Jim, you're first. Give us some thoughts.
Well, gossip has got to go.
Amen.
And, you know, if we do what we're told, you know, if we, in Matthew 18, it should end. And it should. I mean, none of us, you know, no one, we should keep, set a watch over our tongues. I think that's actually in the Psalms. Set a watch over my mouth.
Yeah.
We need to do that because the tongue, as we mentioned before, is powerful. Life and death.
Amen.
It can start a fire, as James said.
Right.
So we just need to be careful. And I think we need to watch it because what comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there have been a couple of times when, you know, I'm not the best of drivers. I mean, I'm a good driver, but I tend to get a little irritated on US 19. And if something comes out of my mouth, it's like, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me because I need to store up some better treasure in my heart.
Right.
You know, and the Lord's convicted me of that. And that's what we need to do is put his word, his life into our heart. So that's what comes out of our mouth.
Exactly.
The whole purpose, and I'll bring this up more on Wednesday as a plug for Wednesday night Bible study.
6:30.
Our whole speech is to edify, to build up each other, not to tear each other down.
Amen. Thank you, PJ. Woo! Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for waking up from your little nappy poo.
Thank you.
And coming to the studio. Shell, thank you for obeying God and turning around instead of getting on I-75 and coming back to rescue your pastor.
Thank you for having me. And I just wanted to say, has PJ seen your driving?
Okay, well, no. Anyway.
Nah.
All right. But, you know, Shell, what a joy to have you join us today. Your insights are wonderful. And thank you for what you just did. That was amazing and courageous. And, you know, we can't stress enough the importance of forgiveness, the importance of making things right with other people, and settling it and moving on, and stressing love and kindness in our relationships. Either of you want to say anything else? You got about 20 seconds.
I'm good.
I just feel better. I feel like a weight lifted off my chest.
Praise God. Praise God.
So
if
you want to feel good,
yeah,
walk
do
in
it.
Forgiveness.
Amen.
And ask
like
for
that.
It.
I love it. Michelle, Lauren Gray, we love you. We love you. And
peace out,
PJ.
People.
Peace out.
Love you.
Amen. Amen. Please pray for my former boss. I got a text and listen, and I just talked to his daughter in a few minutes ago. Very, very ill in ICU. I'm going there tomorrow morning. Jimmy Dunn, football quarterback for Florida many years ago in the 50s. So let's pray for him. And any prayer requests, send them to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And Pastor Jim, Shell, or Betty will pick up that request and send it out. I got to play that song again. Lord Jesus, I believe. Love it. It's been great. Glad you're with us today. Sorry for the equipment problems, but we'll be back with all of us straightened out by next week. Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, Shell, Lauren Gray. God bless you all.
Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus, move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible can be.